You might like to turn in your Bible to Matthew and chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Perhaps we'll look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you for thy word, thy grace, and all that you're doing. So here we are, help us. As we've opened thy word, give us understanding hearts, understanding so that we can have understanding hearts. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In the light of human history, Adam and Eve had a wonderful, wonderful setting in the Garden of Eden. It was a wonderful setting. And had they not sinned, that kind of setting would be found here on earth. But because of sin, they lost that setting, and a time of light became darkness, and a time of life became death, and rightness became wrongness, evil. Now, so moving through history, history has not been very much humans interested in God's wonderful saving grace. And you have to understand afresh that you and I, all humans, are responsible to God. And you cannot excuse yourself because God created you. And there's no way around. Who do you answer to? You must answer to God. There is no one else. You have to answer to God. And humans don't want to do that. They don't want to face that. And so all of history, and after the Garden of Eden, religion, politics, and the world, they aren't too interested. And Israel comes along to make it a great nation, to show the world what a wonderful time. What a wonderful thing it would be if the world system, us humans, we live in the planet Earth, if the world system would turn to God and honor God. What a wonderful condition, what wonderful position, conditions would be existent. But that didn't happen. And Israel caught the disease of us humans, which they already had, but they let it loose. And they became just like the nations. And so, God, what have we got? Well, we've got a terrible time. We're all answerable to God. And God has created us and saved us before we were ever created. Underline, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. Underline it. That's why we're created. Now, what would you think if you were God? And you watched all these years go by, centuries. And us humans haven't gotten any better. No. And Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. You want to have it. God said earth would be quite different if you want me to be king in that setting. But they aren't going to want that. They don't want that. And what's missing, God? What's missing? Well, the closest thing we can get to understanding it is the millennium. The lion lays down with the lamb. The little child can play with an asp. Wow. Wow. But we don't have that. We look on planet Earth. We don't have anything like the millennium. Why not? Because of sin. We're rejecting the solution to our problem. Is God in his saving grace. And to really do it up, Revelation 21 and 22, the grand finale, as it were, the grand finish. A new heavens and a new earth. Everything is glorious. And then we look out the window, and all the earth and all of us humans have let it all go. So when we came to Christ in Matthew chapter 11 and 12, Israel has rejected him as a nation. They don't want him. They don't want him. So they're not going to know anything. Hang on to that. If you were God, if you can even try to think, no, I won't say that, if you were God, try to think like God would think. What would you think after all these centuries and humans at that? His wonderful solution, and they said, we're going to crucify you. What would you think? You need that. What would you think? You, nothing. But that's why the next step. You need that understanding a little bit of what us humans have done with God's saving grace. Therefore, chapter 12, verse 38 again. And you'll note, then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees, in answering, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but there shall no sign be given to it, but a sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Now God, the only sign I'm going to give him, remember we did this, done this, I'm going to give him the sign of Jonah. Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, the great fish that God designed. And just think, if you don't think that, think of a blue whale, which is the largest animal on earth, the blue whale, the blue whale. And I forget it, that's just a thing. The tongue, different ways to say it. The tongue of the blue whale is the size of an elephant. It can hold 400 men just standing around. Jonah's just a little pipsqueak. God, I'm only going to give him one sign, said. God said, I'm only going to give him one sign. It's because of your unbelief, you're only going to get one sign. And the only sign I'm going to give you is the sign of the prophet Jonah, as he was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, in the whale's belly, so shall I be in the heart of the earth. Now, having said that, one of the places to lock it in, chapter 16, and in chapter 16, picking up, if I can, verse 2, and he answered and said unto them, remember they wanted a sign, verse 1, they wanted a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, as evening, say ye, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, the weather, but you cannot discern the sign of the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. Only one sign. To whom the world, here's Christ crucified. Now move through the clock all the way to where we are. That whole time is a time of rejection, a time of leaving God out, of not believing. That's where we are. We're at the end of Laodicea, the end of the age. Here we are at the end. You don't believe. I'm only going to give you one sign. One sign to people that just crucified me and hate my plan to save them forever. They don't want it. You have to get with God, not with the world system, not with religion, Not with what's out here, you'll lose it. Because it looks like, well, nothing's so bad. Religion's not so bad. Everything's not so bad. Hold it. It isn't so good. Therefore, the only sign, now, wonderful. We started it last week, you remember. Now, picking up, please. And keep in mind now, this God's in his wonderful glory and grace is going to show his wonderful, wonderful plan by way of the scriptures. And I remind you again, it needs to be understood. There's only one book in all of the world. Of the zillions and zillions of books, there's only one book, one Bible, and that's what you got. Only one. And that's the only book that God says, according to the scriptures. It's a book full of God. Chapter 5 of John. I lock in these basic things. Otherwise, you are going to read looking out your window and you're going to get the wrong message. John chapter 5. And remember our Lord saying, if I can, in verse 38. Verse 5 and 38 of John. And you have not the word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. You don't believe. You rejected Christ. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify, bear witness of me. The scriptures. One book, one thus saith the Lord, and 66 books, and they're all about one person, God. As he said, they're all about me. So therefore, as we read the outworking of human history and sacred history, as we read, so what have we got? Well, God, you're going to go according to the scriptures. Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman, you have a wonderful promise. The lamb is going to be slain. Genesis 3:15, it's going to happen according to God on Calvary's cross, etc. And you're going to turn the pages and God is going to go with the scriptures. He's going to tell you all about history, humans, and his wonderful grace. And in the process, he's going to reveal his wonderful plan of going to the cross. He's going to make it clearer and clearer. So as you turn the pages, Zechariah, etc., you're going to know. What are you going to know? He's going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. You know all of these things about him. He hasn't been born yet, as it were. God is in his book. He's telling all about it, what he's going to do. And so when we come, according to the scriptures, that's the gospel, the good news, that he died according to the scriptures. He was risen, buried according to the scriptures. He was risen according to the scriptures. According to God. Can we get confused? No, there's no confusion. There's no confusion who he is and who he wonderfully is. Okay, so God, here we are going and looking in your saving grace to show your wonderful, wonderful person in a most wonderful, wonderful way so that there's going to be no mistakes. No mistakes are possible, not necessary. The scriptures clearly point out you're a wonderful, wonderful person. And in the process, you entered Jerusalem the last week according to the scriptures. It's a very public thing. Everything is very public. It's on the Passover. And the Passover feast for Israel. It is said, Josephus and that, 2.5 million people filled that city. That's a lot of people in a little city. Wow. And they're all there to celebrate the Passover. Christ is the Passover lamb. They're all there. Very, very, very public. You can't miss it. It's recorded. So therefore, what are we going to do during that week? We're going to have six trials. Three trials, Jewish trials, and three Gentile trials. You're going to have them. All of them, six, of what? The Jews and the Gentiles are telling him what? We must crucify him. There's no interest or attempt to have a fair trial. They start off bad, they end bad, just like in our country. There's no interest in getting the facts. There's no interest in putting it together. No, we just want to fix it. We got to get rid of them. That's what they're going to do. That's very public. Very includes everybody. It's awful hard to get away from it. So now, having said that, and here we are looking, and in that, and he's going to go, and there's trials and everything. His crucifixion, and we did all those different little seven sayings and all the different things on the cross, all according to the scriptures. We read the scriptures, and then we saw the event, Christ hanging on the cross. Can't miss it. Can't miss it. Century after century, all coming together. Impossible. Impossible for the odds that to happen. But there it is. Why? Because God is God, and he's saying what he's saying, and he's saying what he's saying in a most, most wonderful way. So here we are looking in these last days and looking back at it, and Christ's burial and the Jews, etc., there's no question. And over in Matthew 27, there just to, not to look, but just to stay there for a sec. So here's the, remember the trial? They knew, what did the Roman people and the Jewish people think? Well, the Roman people understood, Gentiles, and the Jewish people understood. What do they understand? The disciples, the believers, the ones that follow followers, the disciples, the apostles to be, they were struggling. But the unsaved weren't struggling. The Jews knew. The third day, after the third day, and you pick it up just one verse, in verse 63, 27, 63, saying, sirs, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. So there's no question. No question, they're very conscious of what he is. He could do it, see? They got to go after him. They can't have that happen. So now, and remember what they, you know, after his resurrection, they put guards, etc. Verse 63, 4, 5, 6. Sliding over to chapter 28, verse 11, etc. What did they do? He arose again. He arose again. And they had to bribe the soldiers, 60 of them or so. They had to bribe them in order to keep them quiet. Because they said, he's risen, and it's empty. And we stood guard, of 60 of us or so. We stood guard, sealed stone. We would die if we got out. We'd be put to death. But he put us, we were as dead men. He moved the stone so that we could look in. And in the process, he's gone. What are we going to say to Pontius Pilate? What are we going to say to the Jews? And the Jews said, and the Jews, of course, as you know, verse 11, 28, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and there God said to them what? Picking up verse 12. And when they were assembled and the elders and had taken course, they gave large money unto the soldiers. And money buys a lot of things. Saying, say ye, his death, his disciples took him away by night, and that's ridiculous, and stole him away while he slept, while we slept. And if this come to pass to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught, and this saying is common, reported unto the Jews until this day. So now, God, here we are looking, and in the process, how do we explain? We can't explain it. There is no explain. We've got an empty tomb. We've got a dead Christ. No question. Dead. Pronounced dead. A legitimate death certificate. And the Romans knew how to take care of that. And they even had another one sent from Pontius Pilate to have pronounce him dead after he's dead. They sent him, kind of the Jews wanting the body, Joseph wanting the body. And so they sent him. He pronounced, he's dead. Death certificate. Dead. No question. Pierced side, hands, feet. He's dead. And therefore, we went and they buried him. So, and in burying them, he put him in a brand new tomb out of rock. And they did that. And before the Passover began at 6 o'clock p.m., and in the process, they quickly put him in there and rolled the rock, prepared the body in a temporary way, wrapped it up, Joseph and Nicodemus. And they wrapped the body up, so it was wrapped up and put the body in there and did all that. And then they had no time to do anything else. And they had the stone rolled away, big stone. Some say the stone rolled stone. 8,000 pounds, that's a pretty big stone. And in the process, put the stone over the thing. And then, of course, the soldiers came and put a seal and sealed it and sealed the rock and put a seal upon it not to be broken. And they did all that. They did everything like that. And they did more. They couldn't do him. He's dead, publicly dead. Can anyone find him? And what's interesting is, what are we trying to do? Here we are. Here's this celebration. Here's all these people. It's the Passover time, a major time of the year, beginning of our sacred year. And here we are. Wow. Let's celebrate. Get rid of this body and this, all these three hanging on the cross. We can't have them, clear the land. We want to be able to celebrate without having to think about his death, his crucifixion. We want to celebrate and have a good time. It's Easter. It's Easter. Don't ruin Easter with a bunny. Now, so in the process, they're celebrating. They want to celebrate, understandably. The world does. The world does. The world doesn't know. Want to know. An adulterous and evil generation seeketh after a sign. They don't want to know that. Nope. So here we are going away. So everything is there. It's unexplainable. You can't explain anything. If you try, you can't. And so you can, and it's very public. Everything's very public on all of it. And so in the process, remember now, and the Jews never attempted to go and answer the resurrection. It's unanswerable. You cannot explain it. You're humanly stuck. You can't explain it. Wow. And therefore the Jews, the only way they ever answered it was by persecution. That's the only way. Now, slide over if you can to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. And Peter's Sermon on the Mount. Lord's Sermon on the Mount. Peter's day on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verse 31. I'll even read verse 30. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to his flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, and neither his flesh did see corruption. Verse 12, 32. This Jesus, this is they're telling him of the scripture, what they knew, what the Jews should have known, one should have known. Verse 22. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. We were there. We were there. We looked in, we did it. We're witnesses. And then, hang on. Chapter 4. Here they ask again. Remember, these are just nobody, just believers that got saved wonderfully. Acts chapter 4, picking up in verse 2. And being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now evening time. In other words, we put them in jail. That's what we did. What are we going to do? Let's keep going with it. Over to chapter 4. And if I can, sliding down to verse 12. Neither is there, listen to their argument, the statement. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness, free, frank, fearless, the word, of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them. What was different about them? They had been with Jesus. We're Pharisees and Sadducees and Ensigns and we're Ensigns and we're all of these things. We're somebody. And who are you? What are your credentials, you see? And then just we get a few fish, goldfish and other things, and we catch them. And we eat them. You're nobodies. No. No flesh shall glory in my presence. And the Pharisees and Sadducees are put down because unlearned and ignorant men, normal, regular humans, are able to put to shame the wisest knowledge of men in their going to the moon and space and the great spaceship out there off of Mars. Wow. Put it to shame. Because they can't touch. They can't touch what? They preach the resurrection. And they know God. They knew Christ. How do you get rid of that? See? You can't get rid of that. I could say each one of us have our little journey through time. And I could say, if I could find some, I could think of people that you may have never met because they died because you can't meet them. In the process, I know them. See, I could say that. I'm just nobody. But you can't say that. They could not say they know Christ. Who did these unlearned nobodies speak of? They spoke of whom? God. I know God. Do you know what that does out there in the street? I've received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. God finds his home in my heart. And I have a personal, awesome relationship to God. has nothing to do with me or you or any of us. It has to do with God's saving grace. Hang on. They shut the mouth of the critics because you can't answer it. You can't change. Years ago, going back for good or bad for you, years ago when I was raised in Methodist Church, from a little baby, I think I was born in Methodist Church. Anyway, in the process, I did all that stuff. I came to know the Lord as my Savior, a little boy, did all that. And after whatever time, when I went back from California, I was an engineer, whatever. Anyway, out there, doing whatever. Out there, and I went back, and here's my family, and first time I went back to Boston. And here they are, they're all gathered. They're Catholic, most of them Roman Catholic, and a couple of Protestants. And there they are, and they're all there, and they're going back, and they want to see what happened to, what is it? What is it with your, what is it? Anyway, so they had me sit in the middle of all of them and that, and in the process, I didn't know what to say. I don't know how to say. I still don't. What to say? And I said with tears, you heard it, with tears in my eyes, I said, He's my Lord and Savior. That's what He is. And no one ever questioned it or challenged me again. Because no matter who they were and what they were, they couldn't challenge my relationship to God. Ignorant people who have an awesome relationship that can't be touched. It's unexplainable. Now, hang on. Now, so having said that, chapter 4, sliding over if I can, chapter 4 and verse 33, here's the assembly, just like us, just like assembly, believe it, church. Chapter 4, verse 33, in the process. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the, underline, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And great grace was upon them all. That's what we're doing. That's what we do. Every service is what? We're recognizing our real relationship to God. That's why we gather together to worship on the Lord's Day, etc. We have a relationship to God. It's legit. It's real. Practice it. And you're preaching the resurrection. And the world doesn't want to hear it. They don't want to know it at all. And therefore, God, here we are. So now, here, looking to God. So therefore, they saw, over if I can, John chapter 20. And you'll note in John chapter 20, I am picking up the account of the resurrection from the window. Remember, there are four windows, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, four windows to see the same cross. Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. Excuse me, Matthew chapter 20. Yeah, it's John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 1. The first day of the week, cometh Mary Magdalene, early, when it was yet dark, and unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh unto Simon Peter, and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and that's the Apostle John, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. She didn't even bother, just saw the stone gone and said, wow, and she ran back in panic and telling Peter and John. So what did Peter and John do? Peter and John, now remember now it's dusk, day just getting daylight. In verse 3, Peter therefore went forth and the other disciple, John, and came to the sepulchre. And so they ran both together And the other disciple did outrun Peter. Now, the reason probably is Peter was older. So John had the advantage of running faster than he did. And came first to the sepulcher. What did John do? He, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. The little word saw, S-A-W, three things. He sees. He sees. The word saw there means to look with your eyes, to see something. Not necessarily involved, just I see it. I see it. I see the stone. I see inside. Okay. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre straight in, and seeth. That word see is to inspect, to look, not just see. It's looking to examine. To examine, to explore, to explain. You want to take it apart and see it. Okay, so here's Peter. And Peter looks and he sees. And went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie. Okay, and the napkin that was about the head, his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Now, and I've got to read the next in verse 8. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw. This time he's looking, a different word, to see and grasp something. Now John's looking to see, to grasp it, what he's going to see. Now, having said that, and doing that, keeping that in mind, what did they see? Now, what do you know elsewhere and here? What did the angel tell the people, the women and the Peter and John, what did he tell them in Matthew, Mark, and Luke? Come see the place where he lay. Underline that. Not come see it's empty. Not come see he's not there. No. Come see the place where he lay. Why? What are they doing? It's the sign of all signs. God, you're trying to say something. You're trying to say it with a big rock. Who's going to get in there? No one. But he isn't in there. No. No, he isn't in there. What is there to see where he lay? Now, remember now, Joseph and Nicodemus, they wrap him up in linen sheets, wrap him up like a mummy, wrap him all up. And then, and they carried him in, got him in there. And then you take a napkin or a sweatband. And what did you do with the sweatband? Well, what do you do with the sweatband? Well, you wrap the body up. Just think of wrapping a body up. And in order to prevent the jaw from dropping, jaw could drop, you tie the sweatband around. You ever seen it? You need to see Scrooge. Next time you see Scrooge, take a good look. You got his thing. Sweatband. Now, what have we got? Well, there's a body without a body. There's the sheets, just like that, but there's nothing in it. And to boot, here's the sweatband, neatly over here, rolled up, folded, as if his head was in it. But there's nothing there. There's nothing there. Nothing in the body. Nothing there. Explain that. How did he get out? No one got in. How did he get out? I told you, I'm going to tell you, the only sign I'm going to give you, and you'll never explain it. You'll never explain it. All you can do is be, I don't know what it would be, to understand. I've made it so that you can't explain it. No more than you explain the stars in the sky. You'll never count them. Never count them. Do you understand what I've done? You have to understand, is he's not there. He's not there. That's awesome. That's awesome. Death. Death has no hold. Acts chapter 2. And you will note, Acts chapter 2, picking up in verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God. The cross didn't kill Christ. God did. God killed his son for our sake. Ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up from the dead, loose from the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. To death has no place to the living God. No place. Wow. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, now, so God, what are we looking for? How are we going to answer it? Now, it's the resurrection, and it's an awesome thing. And the Easter Bunny doesn't stand a chance. And Easter eggs, no matter how good they are no place, nothing can compare with the sign of the resurrection, an empty body. You can't touch it. Wow. Why? So that what? God, you did all, we don't have time. 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians, chapter 1. You'll be encouraged, I think. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And you will notice in verse 25, 1 and 25, 1 Corinthians, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, and not many mighty, and not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base low things of the world, and things which are despised, God hath chosen. And things which are not, to bring to naught, to bring to nothing, things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And God takes a whosoever and saves him. That's us guys. A whosoever. You think of that. That's whosoever's that need to get saved. What did you say to the Philippian jailer? Acts chapter. That's, God, so if you think you're somebody, you probably think you're too big. You got to be little. God saves the little things to make mockery of the big things. Now, over if I can. I forgot what I started to say. Anyway, now over to Acts. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Verse 30. To the Philippian jailer. And brought them out and said to Paul, and that Paul, and that, and brought them out. And sirs, Paul, what must I, they want, asked Paul, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You do the believing, and thou shalt be saved. Passive, God does the saving. You do the believing, God does the saving. Don't confuse it. It isn't your plan. You didn't choose to come on earth. You didn't choose to be here. God created you at this time to know him. And that's what it is. So don't get yourself too big in this. Stay little. God, here I am, a whosoever. And you want to say, what do you want me to do? Like, come see the place where he lay. Believe. Believe he rose again from the grave. He's not here. He is risen. Believe it. Now, Acts chapter 17. If you don't believe it, Acts chapter 17, verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man which he hath ordained, whereby he hath given assurance unto all men. So what should they know? In that he hath raised him from the dead. I'll read that again slower, in the middle. By that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. He's the judge. He's the Savior. He's going to judge everybody. We'd read it in Sunday school. Great white throne judgment. What are you going to do? Wow. You got to believe. I don't believe. You'll face him anyway. Like we said in the beginning, you don't have any choice. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. There's no way. There's no way to say, I'm not going to talk to God. I don't want to know God. You will. That's just the nuts and bolts of it. Do you know in the Second World War, 1940s, off the coast of Provincetown, a submarine sank, and there was an effort made to do what they could to try to save and do rescue. And in the process, they sent the teams down to do whatever, and the sub and wanted to see what should they do. So they circled around and trying to find back then with the equipment they had. And in the process, as they were checking the sub's surface, they hit a spot where they thought they heard something. So they went and stopped and listened. And they did, a tapping, Morse code. And the people, of course, that knew Morse code. And they said, is there hope? From inside. Is there hope down here? Is there hope? Yes. Yes, there is. Wow. Hope you got a little bit. Wow. Our Father and God, we look to you with thanksgiving. Thank you for caring. Thank you for loving. God, it's so simple, plain, easy. Just like sitting at the table in your presence. God, thanks. Thank you very much. Thank you for your just being. And we'll look to you to help us in every way. And for those who know you not, as Lord and Savior God, may they receive you, believe, and enjoy your wonderful presence, your saving grace. And we'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.